and welcome to Leader Feeder. I'm Suzanne Jakes, the Marketing Coordinator at Unique Training and Development and Frontline Leadership Systems USA, here with Kirk Langford, our General Manager. Hi, Kirk.
Hi, Suzanne. I'm good. How are you doing?
Yeah, good.
Good. That's awesome. Did you know this Wednesday is actually Administrative Professionals Day?
Oh, you know what? I actually did know that because I'm the Marketing Coordinator.
I guess that's a good sign. Yeah, you would know that. So, you know, you're, I would say, an administrative professional. So, you know, happy Administrative Professionals Day.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Today on Leader Feeder, the topic is how to retain employees in your manufacturing organization. So my first question, Kirk, is there high turnover in manufacturing?
Well, I'm going to give away something. We picked this as a podcast episode because the answer is yes. But I mean, the answer also is it depends, right? There are some sectors or teams that aren't really struggling with it. But I think overall, yeah, there is a sense of higher turnover in manufacturing than in other industries. You know, we've worked with a client actually only a year or two ago where they were dealing with 50% turnover year over year. So that meant 50% of their frontline workforce was brand new every year.
Whoa.
And when you think of the time and effort it takes to train people, that's a lot of time and effort trying to, you know, get people trained, get people onboarded, and kind of get them up to snuff. On the flip side, though, I mean, we also have worked with organizations. One in particular I can think of, a furniture manufacturer, where the majority of their frontline employees had been with them for at least 10 years, some as long as, you know, 30 years. And I think if I remember correctly, it was sort of the vast majority. So it is an issue. Some companies are definitely, some companies and some sectors are certainly dealing with it more regularly than others, though.
So with maybe such a high turnover rate, what would you say, or maybe our listeners would want to know, what would be in their control what would be in their control in terms of employee retention?
Right. So you're asking kind of what can the frontline leaders do to try to help, you know, stop the problem?
Right. Like what can, what can they control in their environment? Because I imagine there's going to be employees who maybe leave because of reasons outside of their control.
That's a good question. And I think there's lots of things. I mean, if I think of some basic things that I know employees tend to gravitate towards or that resonate positively with employees, I think of celebrating or recognizing or acknowledging wins or gains on the team. I think as frontline leaders, we don't do that enough. We tend to focus on putting out fires. So that would be the first thing. I think another thing is people understanding the value of what they do and why they do it. And in fact, understanding the value helps them understand the why behind what they do. And that's something that if somebody feels like, hey, I'm part of an important process, I'm part of a team, I'm part of an organization, and I provide value to that organization, I think they're more likely to stay there rather than feeling as though they're just a number. Right. I think employees who feel listened to and leaders that ask questions and then listen to the answer. And whenever possible, you have a frontline leader that tries to take, not just ask for their opinion and listen to it, but then try to implement it. Oh, you had a great idea. Let's use your idea. I think that's a great way to help retention. I think another thing is ensuring cohesion on the team. And what I mean by that is, do you just kind of let the different people on your team do their thing, or do you actually make an effort to try to help people work better together? And I don't mean like forcing them to be friends or forcing them to be people that get along, but giving them opportunities to connect, giving them opportunities to maybe get to know one another at least a little bit, especially when someone's new on the team, right? So how much of a welcoming environment do you create on your team? Or is it just kind of, this is Suzanne, she's the new person. Say hi. Okay, get to work. You know, are we taking time to introduce them so that they feel like a valued member right from the get-go? So I think those are all things that are within the frontline leader's kind of area of control that they can work with, and are tools that they have in their sort of leadership tool belt, as it were, to try to help employees stick around and increase retention.
Right. So similarly to, you know, the things that frontline leaders can control, what would you do if you had a turnover issue in your company?
Yeah, good question. So I'm actually going to draw a little diagram. I thought we'd try that out and have some fun with it today.
Perfect. Like
draw
that.
A bit of a visual. So
absolutely.
There's one
Better
thing I
explain it well so
yeah,
that
right?
our listeners.
Yeah, exactly. Because they're not going to be able to see it. So I'll have to narrate here for those listening to the podcast. So I'm going to do three concentric circles, right? So we've got a smallest circle in the middle. We've got that second kind of medium circle and the third largest circle. And this was done by Stephen Covey, which lots of people know. He's kind of a leadership expert. He's written lots of books. His probably first and most famous was The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. So he kind of created this, although notions of this concept that I'm going to explain have been around for a long, long time, like going back to the Greek philosophers thousands of years ago. Okay. But what we're going to talk about are the three circles that you need to kind of think about as a leader or as a person, but in this case, as a leader. So the first circle is what I'd call the circle, or what Stephen Covey calls the circle of control. Okay? These are things, anything inside the circle of control are things that you have, as a leader, have direct control over when it comes to your team, all
like
right?
Those things like acknowledging and recognizing and celebrating that you talked about earlier.
That's right. You get to decide as a leader whether you acknowledge somebody or not. You get to determine whether you celebrate the wins. You get to determine whether you make someone, whether you try to make someone feel welcome on the team. So those are things that are very much within your control. The second circle is called your circle of influence. So these are things where you get a say, but you don't necessarily have direct control. So an example of that might be someone's pay. Maybe you don't get to decide whether someone gets a raise or not, or a salary increase, but you do get input into their performance review, which is then used to determine whether they get a salary increase and how much. So you don't get a direct control over it, but you do have influence because what you say or what you do can have a direct impact, okay? And then the third piece is your circle of concern. And these are things that you probably think about, you're aware of, that you know about, but ultimately you don't really get to have a say, right? So this might be whether somebody gets a promotion or not. Now, in some cases, that could be in your circle of influence because they could come to you and say, hey, this person on your team, we want to promote them. What are your thoughts? And in that case, you get a little bit of a say. But it could also be that you don't get asked your opinion. It really doesn't matter what your thoughts are on it. And so that might be your circle of concern where it's something you're aware of, but you don't really get a say.
I think that would be a little redundant of what we're trying to tell upper management. If you're trying to be this way with your frontline leaders and then your management is not caring about your ideas.
So those are our three circles of control, influence, and concern. Now, to answer your question about if you are trying to, you know, increase retention and kind of help motivation on your team, what my suggestion is to think about and focus on what's in your area or your circle of control, right? It's this area here that is going to where you'll see the biggest impact. And you know, as a side note, this is something we talk about, or that the sort of the Greek philosophers, when they started talking about this a long time ago, what they essentially said is, the happiest people are the ones that focus on what they can control. So instead of being upset or mad about all the things we don't have control over and all the things we can't change, instead focus on what do you have control over and what can you change. And the same thing goes for a leader, right? So a lot of those things I just mentioned to you know, your previous question are things within your area, your circle of control. You can decide how much you celebrate your team. You can decide how much time you spend getting to know them and making them feel welcome. You can decide whether you just hand out statements of what to do or whether you ask questions and then listen to answers and try to implement their ideas. You get to decide that. So the first thing I'd say is decide for your role, for your position, what's in your area of control or your circle of control. And then really highlight or focus on implementing those things.
Great. So speaking of things that we can do inside our control and focusing on those things for employees that are, I'm guessing, existing, changing your mindset, all these things that frontline leaders should want to start doing. What would you suggest to a frontline leader to keep a new employee? To make sure that a new employee, a new person comes in, that they don't become one of that, what did you say, 50%?
Yeah, that potential 50% that leave in that first year. Yeah. Here's what I think. You need to make them feel like a valued member of the team as quickly as you can. I've read a stat somewhere. Unfortunately, I can't remember where I saw it, but it's something like most employees decide whether or not they want to stay with the company within their first 2 weeks. That's not very much time, right? As a leader, you don't have months and months to make them feel engaged and that they that their opinion matters and that that they are a valued member of the team. You got a couple weeks. So instead of thinking about kind of a long-term plan in that sense, it's what can you do right off the bat? Well, one of the biggest, easiest things is take the time to introduce them to the team. And again, I don't mean, you know, at your morning huddle, just say, hey, everyone, Suze is the new person here. You know, if you wouldn't mind saying hi to her, that'd be great. Actually taking time to say, hey, Suzanne is the new person on our team. She's our new crew member. Suzanne, could you take maybe a minute and just tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe a bit of your past? We'd love to hear, you know, who you are and kind of what gets you fired up and why you joined us. What a great way to make that person feel, oh, this person actually cares about who I am and what my ideas are and, you know, that I'm not just an employee filling a role. So whatever you can do to introduce them to the team, organize even time if you can with the new employee, both with just you as their leader, but also with the team so that people can get to know them. Maybe it's planning meals or something and sort of making sure that time happens. Anything you can do so that early on they feel attached to the team and a part of the team, they're way less likely in the end of that 2 weeks to go, yeah, people probably wouldn't even notice if I were gone. Instead, they're going to be like, yeah, I clearly matter. I've clearly been made to fit in. I've clearly been made to feel like what I do here matters. Mm-hmm. So the earlier you can do that, the better.
I imagine also things like having proper procedures when it comes to training, right?
Yep.
Also, like, mm-hmm. has an aspect on people coming, right?
Yeah, good point.
You know, of course, being welcomed is going to be a big part of it and having attachments to the team. But also, if you're not going to train me properly on a machine and I'm going to keep having questions.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like people might get frustrated. So having probably set some good procedures,
that's a good point. Having checklists. A solid onboarding plan. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would say primarily we are a social creature. We're a social being. And so we really appreciate fitting in and we appreciate feeling part of a team. Mm-hmm. So I do think that's still probably number one. But you are right that if you're left to flounder and you're not given structure and you're not given expectations and you're not given, you know, here's how we do things on the team. And you're exactly right. People don't like to flounder. They don't like to feel like, oh, I just want to know if I'm doing a good job and I don't know what that looks like because no one shared that with me. Then, you know, you're exactly right. So primarily make them feel part of the team. Make them feel welcome. Mm-hmm. And I would say close second is, have a nice structure around what do they need to know? How can they kind of get to work quickly so that so they can start contributing to the team, right? We talk a lot about people want to feel the value of the work they do and they want that to be communicated to them. So they need to know what it is and then how can they contribute? So exactly right. You got it.
Mm-hmm. So as a final note today, are there things that frontline leaders can do for both existing and new employees? Anything different that people can help do than maybe what we've talked about? Or maybe you want to reiterate some of those great things that you talked about?
Well, everything I mentioned. So, yes. No, just kidding. I'd say it probably boils down to three primary things. I mean, it might be one or two I'm forgetting. But if I boil it down, first thing I would say is figure out what motivates your employees by getting to know them. Now, we didn't really talk about this much already, but I do think it's a really important piece because how do you motivate people if you don't know what motivates them, right? You need to be able to say, well, you know, this person's motivated by the chance of getting a promotion. This person's motivated when I acknowledge their hard work in front of the group. This person's motivated by just getting challenges in their work so that they feel like they're contributing even more and that they're growing and learning. So first thing, figure out what motivates your employees. And the best way to do that is by getting to know them. Second thing, figure out what's within your circle of control. Like we talked about, you've got control, you've got circle of influence, and then you've got your biggest circle of concern. But it's that middle one, right? The smallest one, that circle of control. Think about, okay, what is it within my circle of control as their leader? And then the third part about that is maximize the time that you spend working on things that match both of those. So you kind of have this Venn diagram that you might remember from math class or comparisons, right? Where you've got circle A is what motivates the people on your team. Circle B is what you have control over. Where do those meet? What are the things that that are in common? Focus on those. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if people say, well, salary is really important to me and you don't have much say over salary, okay, well, then that's not something that you focus on as a leader. Instead, you might focus on other parts that your people are motivated by. So that's what I would say. find out what motivates them by informal ways, formal ways, conversations, one-on-ones, you know, surveys, whatever you think works on your team, and it's usually a mix. Then figure out what is within your circle of control based on your role and your company, and then spend the most time you can working on those things. Mm-hmm. So all the time you're focusing on motivators that fit those two groups. And I think if you do that, you should really be able to keep people motivated, and that will help definitely reduce turnover and have a team that feels kind of cohesive and that they matter and that they're part of a team.
Thanks, Kirk. I'm glad we could sit You're down welcome. Today and chat and try to help frontline leaders retain their employees.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a big thing, right? Yes, companies, is. Nobody wants to lose employees. Nobody wants, for the time and effort you put into it, nobody wants to lose people. So if it's a small thing like this, it can have an outsized impact, because as the frontline leader, they spend a lot of time with you. And so what you do as their leader matters.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And thank you for joining us today on Leader Feeder. I hope you have a wonderful day, and we'll see you soon.